Yesterday, Sayaraji explained that in order to note every rising object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, one needs to note by aiming the noting mind towards the object and putting effort so that the noting mind will fall onto the object. So by this way, yogis should keep sustained mindfulness on whatever object that arises, whether sitting, standing, bending, stretching, moving. These daily activities should also be noted. So when doing such activities, even though one may be strong, but one must act like a sick, weak person, doing things slowly and mindfully. So Sayaraji explained from the text that yogis should do slowly, just like a sick, weak person. So if yogis practice accurately according to the guidance given, they will make progress within a short time, within a few days. By practicing accurately according to the guidance given, they will be developing sati, mindfulness, samadhi, concentration, and jnana, wisdom. So by developing sati, samadhi, and jnana, one's body, speech, and mind will be blameless, pure, clean, tamed, gentle. So to have a good culture in body, speech, and mind, one needs to have two factors or two causes, and Sayaraji will explain on these two factors. The first one is sadhukan sawana, and the second one is sadhukan manasikara. The first one, sadhukan sawana, means listening attentively on the instruction and guidance given. So one should listen attentively on the guidance and instruction, one knowing the benefit of practice, cherishing, valuing the practice, have respect in the practice, and to listen to these instructions and guidance attentively. So it is very important to know the instruction and guidance so that one can put it into practice. So that's why one should be listening attentively, respectfully, respectfully in detail, so that one understand in the way it is explained with examples. And the second one is sadhukam manasikara. One should be noting concurrently on whatever object that is presently arising at the present moment. One should note concurrently, accurately, so that one's noting will be effective. So one should be endowed with these two factors. If any one of the factors are deficient, if one has deficiency in any one of these two factors, then one will not gain culture, blamelessness in one's body, speech, and mind. Whether one is lacking in the first factor or the second factor or both, then meditation teacher cannot help such yogis, and it will take many days, but these yogis will not be making progress. So, in order to fulfill one's goal, one needs to know the exact method, accurate method, how to practice, and one should also put it into practice respectfully, cherishingly, so that one will succeed in the practice. So one needs to practice so that his or her practice will be effective. Noting, observing, practicing according to the guidance given, the person will be automatically developing sati, samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, and his or her body, speech and mind will become blameless, pure, clean, tamed, gentle and peaceful. So Xiaoji can guarantee that the person's body, speech and mind will become blameless, pure, clean, tamed, gentle and peaceful by practicing according to the guidance given. So yogis try it, and even within 1 or 2 days, they will see the progress in the practice. So if they are not practicing according to the guidance given, Xiaoji cannot guarantee anything. So whatever one is doing, whether one is practicing to accumulate wholesomeness, or in order to calm and tranquil the mind, or in order to develop knowledge, or in order to get education or business, whatever one is doing, one should know the benefit of his or her work. So it is very important to understand the benefit of one's work first of all. So by knowing the benefit of work to a full extent, then one will have faith and confidence on the work. So if one does not know the benefit of work, then one will have very weak will. One is not so eager to do work if he, she does not have strong will to get the benefits. So if one wants to have these benefits, if one is not so eager to get these benefits, the person will be working less. And if the person wants to gain benefits a lot, if the person is very eager to get the benefits, then the person will be working actively, diligently, full of alertness, activeness. So that's why it is very important to have faith and confidence on the practice. If one is thinking, reflecting on things that are beyond his or her knowledge, with such reflections, they are wasting their time. So in the outside world, they need to think and reflect, but during the practice of meditation, if they are reflecting, thinking things that are beyond their knowledge, then they are wasting their time. If they are reflecting if something is true or not, if it is beneficial or not, suitable or not, in the way they do in the outside world, then they will be losing time doing so during the practice of meditation. So After learning the method to practice, then one should practice accurately according to the guidance given. Saddha, faith and confidence, plays a very important role. If one is thinking, reflecting, instead of noting the presently arising object, then the person will not be able to keep pace with the objects that are arising at the present moment. Failing to note the presently arising object, one can have confusion and doubt. So this doubt can deceive as a jnana or knowledge. So doubt can be in the guise of jnana. So this vijigaccha, skeptical doubt, it can deceive the person as if it is knowledge. So the ones who will only accept after reflecting, investigating, such people, if they are making use of these reflections and investigations during the field of Dhamma, then they will be wasting their time with confusion and doubt. So Buddha himself said in a very direct way on these people who will only accept things after investigating, reflecting, criticizing, and so on. So at one time, there was a Brahmin hermit coming to the Buddha, and he told Buddha that he had heard many kinds of beliefs, this and that, and he said that he does not accept any kind of belief. He cannot accept them accurately, so he has doubt and confusion on all the beliefs. And what Buddha replied to this Brahmin hermit is that the person who has the intention to criticize whatever he, she hears, Buddha, I myself cannot help anyone who is in confusion, criticizing everything. So it is what Buddha replied to the person. So a person who criticizes whatever he, she hears cannot be helped, not even by the Buddha. So even Buddha complained of such people. So when one has faith and confidence on the Satipatthana practice, that Satipatthana practice is one and only sure way in order to get the benefits such as purification of the mind and so on, then one should not be criticizing on it. One should just note on presently arising object with aim and effort. So there is no other duty of the yogi. One and only duty of the yogi is to note the presently arising object with aim and effort. So if the yogi is doing a lot of things, then yogi will fail or miss to note the presently arising object. Failing to note the presently arising object, there will be delusion, what is called moha padala. Moha padala means layers of delusion. So if one fails to note the presently arising object without aim and effort, one will have confusion, doubt. There will be moha padala, layers of delusion. So if one failed to note for 1 minute, there can be 60 layers of delusion. If one fails to note for 5 minutes, there can be 300 layers of delusion. In 1 hour of lacking mindfulness, there can be 3,600 layers of delusion. So the layers, there will be thick layers of delusion. There will be a great mass, a great heap of delusion if the person fails to note the object that arises at the present moment. So having thick layers of delusion, it will be a loss. So if one is speculating, imagining, reflecting, why is it, how is it, having criticizing, then there will be thick layers of delusion. And also it is called sammoha prigontita. It means one is entangled and baffled with extreme delusion. So if one fails to note the presently arising object, there will be moha patala, layers of delusion, and there will also be sammoha prigontita. One will be entangled and baffled with extreme delusion. In order to practice so as to keep one's body, speech, and mind blameless, pure, clean, gentle, and cultured, by practicing sila, morality, by fulfilling sila, one becomes a genuine human. So by noting on the presently arising object with effort and sustained mindfulness, when the mind becomes calm and collected, gain concentration, then the mind will not be agitated with raga or dosa. The mind will not be agitated with lust, hatred, or delusion, but the mind will be calm and collected. So when the mind becomes concentrated, not being shaken or agitated by these defilements, then the person has the attitude or mind of a human. So in order to be uplifted, in order to develop high knowledge, one should not have wrong views. As a human being, in order to become an extraordinary person, one needs to practice. So as a human being, one needs to be a genuine human. One needs to have the attitude, or one needs to have the mind of a human. And one should strive hard in order to have human knowledge, exceptional human knowledge. So in order to become exceptional, extraordinary human, one needs to learn how to practice so that one will be uplifted. And in order to uplift oneself, in order to become an extraordinary human, one needs to practice satipatthana meditation. Buddha encouraged yogis who are going to undertake satipatthana practice, who are currently practicing satipatthana practice. Buddha encouraged the yogis by showing the seven benefits of satipatthana practice, such as purification of the mind and so on. So this Buddha's discourse is very simple and very good. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one is controlling oneself so that one does not commit misconduct by body, speech, and mind. So controlling oneself by body, speech, and mind, one is also automatically protecting others from being hurt. Having genuine metta and karuna, having genuine loving kindness, compassion, consideration towards others, one protects others from being hurt. So one should control oneself so that one does not commit these transgressions by body, speech, and mind. So by controlling oneself by body, speech, and mind, others are also automatically protected from being hurt. So this is the genuine, true culture. And also, it is true culture in order to gain knowledge. So one should practice until one has a guarantee in life that one can really rely on and depend on. So such person who have practiced to have guarantee in their life, they are called Padaniya, the one who strive hard in order to have guarantee in life. There are five factors of striving hard. There are five factors of striving. And by being endowed with these five factors of striving, one can be assured that he, she can gain guarantee in life, in this very life. So these five factors are: number one, one should have faith and confidence. Number two, one should be healthy. One should have health. One should have good health. And number three is honesty. One should be honest. Number four is diligence. One should have diligent effort in the practice. This is the fourth factor. And the fifth one is one should have knowledge into fast arising and passing away of the materiality and mentality. So among these five factors, number one is faith and confidence. So if some of you have a hard time to have faith and confidence in the Buddha personally, they should at least have faith and confidence on the Satipatthana practice, that this Satipatthana practice can bring benefits such as purification of the mind and so on. And also, one should have faith and confidence in oneself. One should have faith and confidence that by practicing according to the guidance given, one can benefit. So in this way, one should have faith and confidence on Satipatthana practice as well as oneself. So teachers are not forcing the yogis to have faith and confidence, but one should have faith and confidence on things that are worthy of faith and confidence. In Pali, it is called Saddeya Vattu. Saddeya Vattu are things that are worthy of faith and confidence. So by knowing the virtues of this practice, one should have faith and confidence. Knowing the virtues of practice, one's faith and confidence will be awakened. And it should not just be mudda basana. Mudda basana means blind faith, believing in what he, she hears without any knowledge in it. So it should not just be mudha pasana, blind faith, but one should really have faith and confidence on the satipatthana practice as well as oneself. Second one is health. One should be healthy in order to continue the practice so as to gain one's goal and success. So nowadays, not everyone is perfect in his or her health. So healthy means having good digestion, being able to digest what he, she eats. So if one has good digestion, the person is considered to be healthy. The third one is honesty. One should be very honest. So one should reveal one's own weaknesses to their teachers. One should not hide his or her weakness, and one should not pretend to have the virtue or quality he, she does not have. For example, when the yogi comes for interview, when the teacher asks, "Can you note rising and falling of the abdomen accurately?" Then, if you can do so, a yogi need to answer yes. But if the yogi answers yes, even if he, she cannot note rising and falling of the abdomen accurately, then the yogi is not honest. So if yogi cannot note rising, falling, he, she should report that he, she cannot note it. So one should be honest with his or her report. So if the meditation teacher asks, "Can you note rising, falling meticulously, concurrently?" Then if he, she cannot, then they must answer, "I can't." So they should not hide their weaknesses, and they should not pretend that they know. They should not pretend to know something they have not already known. So they should report accurately. They should be honest in reporting so that the teacher can help. The teacher can give necessary help. So it is just like a patient going to the doctor. So the doctor will ask, "Do you take the prescribed medicine regularly? And how do you feel?" In order for the doctor to give good treatment, the patient should explain whether or not he, she is taking the prescribed medicine regularly, how she feels. So only when the patient describes correctly, then the doctor will be able to help. So in the same way, yogis coming to the meditation teacher is compared to a patient going to a doctor. So that's why one should be honest and accurate when they come for interview, when they report to their teachers. So they should not be hiding their weaknesses. They should not pretend to have something that they have not already gained. And also, the fourth one is to have diligent effort when practicing satipatthana meditation. One should practice diligently without regard to one's body and life. One should be practicing diligently, actively, readily, whatever object that arises. And yogi should have a diligent effort so that he, she will not miss to note anything. So by this way, yogis should be noting with diligence, with diligent effort, continuously. And the fifth one is being endowed with the knowledge into first arising and passing away of the mentality and materiality. So whatever one should be endowed with knowledge into first arising and passing away of physical and mental phenomena. So at this stage, when the yogi gains this knowledge, the person will be getting the true taste of Dhamma. Getting to this stage, yogi has more effort to practice further, so this his or her own practice will be taking the yogi to practice further until he, she reaches his or her goal. So when the yogi gets to this stage, the meditation teachers will no longer need to persuade the yogi to practice diligently, but his or her own practice will keep the yogi practicing further in their practice. So yogis should be asking themselves whether they have faith and confidence in the practice, whether they have faith and confidence in himself, herself, whether they are very assured and have faith and confidence on the practice and himself, herself, and yogi, whether he, she is healthy or not, but leave it alone. And yogi should also think whether he, she is honest, and also whether he, she is practicing with diligent effort every single second. So yogis will know themselves better whether they are making enough effort to note every single second. So yogis should be noting continuously on whatever object that arises without stopping, without resting. So they should be practicing continuously. Only then defilements cannot arise, laziness will not creep in by noting continuously, and also other defilements have no chance to arise by noting continuously. So noting continuously, one is blocking the path of defilements from entering into the mind, and one is said to be opening the path of wholesomeness. So if the yogi continues to practice this way continuously, yogi will reach his or her goal in a very short time. So that's why yogi should have diligent effort in order to note every single object. So by noting with diligent effort on every arising object, then one will be developing necessary mental strength. So if one can note once, one will be developing mental strength once. If one notes 10 times continuously, then there will be 10 moments of developing mental strength. So by noting every arising object continuously, one will be developing mental strength. So Saraji give an example of a battery in a car, for example. Only if you keep the engine running, then the battery will be charged. So in the same way, one needs to assert effort every single second so that the mental strength will be charged. So yogi should compare with this example. So yogis should be noting continuously, and they should not be practicing, stopping, gazing, thinking, talking. So they should not be practicing in stop and go manner. So if they are practicing in stop and go manner, then the mental strength will not be developed continuously. And thus, his or her mental strength will be getting weak. He, she will not benefit. So if he, she does not benefit after many long days, then yogi starts to feel discouraged and depressed in the practice. So some of the yogis, they try many teachers, this teacher, that teacher, and they sometimes take pride that I have practiced under who and who, so on. So Saraji said, even though the teacher may be good, but if the yogi does not put effort in the practice, then he, she will not benefit. Even though the teacher is good, if the yogi does not assert effort, he, she will be wasting time without making progress. So Saraji would like to urge the yogis to practice diligently within the days left. There are still 4 weeks to go, so please, Saraji would like to urge the yogis to practice diligently during the days left.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.